You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and I welcome my colleagues, Tom Joslin and Bill Rojo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They are senior fellows. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, and never more keen for what does it mean than remarks by the President of the United States in his first press conference about Afghanistan and what is to be done. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. I go to the President's remarks himself and characterize it this way. When asked, can he imagine the U.S. having a military presence in Afghanistan a year from now, the president said, I can't picture that. Tom, I start to puzzle with you. I can't picture a U.S. presence in Afghanistan a year from now. What does that tell you about the government in Kabul, about the commitment of our allies to Afghanistan, about the fact that the U.S., once leaving Afghanistan, leaves it to a series of threats that are still extant. That would be al-Qaeda, and that would be the Taliban in league with al-Qaeda. Good evening to you, Tom.
Good evening, John. Well, I mean, the first and foremost, what it tells us, again, is it just reemphasizes once again that President Biden wants out of Afghanistan just as President Trump did and just as President Obama did. So there's been this longstanding desire by the Commander-in-Chief of the United States to get out of Afghanistan. And the thing is that this time, you know, the U.S. is closer than ever. Of course, President Obama drew down after ordering a short-lived surge of forces. He drew down to less than 10,000 forces and soldiers and left it there basically for President Trump, who then had sort of a mini increase in deployments to Afghanistan, but then drew down now to somewhere in the 2,500 to 3,500 range. And that's where President Biden inherited the American footprint. And he doesn't really want the Americans to even have that small footprint there anymore either. He wants out. It doesn't tell us anything about the government in Kabul, really, other than their chief ally for the last almost 20 years doesn't want to really support them anymore or back them on the ground that the U.S. wants out. And the U.S. has this self-imposed deadline of May 1st, and self-imposed because it was a product of this servile deal that the Trump administration negotiated with the Taliban, in which the U.S. promised to get out by May 1st of this year in exchange really for nothing. And the Biden administration has been evaluating whether or not they can keep forces past May 1st for a short window, but President Biden doesn't want to do so for a long time. He's sort of entertaining this idea that the U.S. would have a smaller footprint there past May 1st.
Bill, I read from the president's remarks at his press conference, we are not staying for a long time. We will leave. The question is when we leave. It's going to be hard to meet the May 1st deadline just in terms of tactical reasons. That tactical reason, what does that look like to you, Bill? Does it mean that the Afghan National Army is not ready for the U.S. to leave? Does it mean that they haven't got enough supplies? Does it involve special forces? I understand that's a large part of the U.S. commitment is special forces.
Good evening, John. I think it's hard to guess what Biden was referring to with his thinking of tactical reasons, but I could tell you what the tactical considerations would be for a military commander or the U.S. government. And one of the key ones would be that the Afghan military isn't ready to fight the Taliban on its own. And if that's the case, if that's what they're talking about, well, when is the Afghan military going to be ready to fight on its own? You know, the whole idea, and it's also an admission that this peace process, so-called peace process, is a failure, because why would the Afghan military have to be able to fight on its own if peace was just around the corner, as we've been told numerous times since this deal was signed? Other considerations, though, would be logistically getting U.S. forces out by May 1st. We're now hitting the 30-day mark. I'm told it would take at least 2 to 3 months to turn the lights off in Afghanistan, get the heavy equipment out, get the, you know, turnover, whatever they're going to turn over to the Afghan military, and physically remove the U.S. And, you know, one of the considerations there is there going to be a U.S. embassy? No one's even talking about this. Will there be an embassy? If so, it's required to protect it. Would the Taliban even accept the fact that the U.S. is going to have forces? So those are probably, you know, some of the key so-called tactical considerations. Some of them are actually strategic, but that's just fine. I think that's the gist of what he's getting to. But if it is the first that the Afghan, you know, that they're worried that the Afghan military won't be ready, and, you know, they need to stick around for this to secure some kind of peace deal, well, you know, that isn't the agreement signed with the Taliban, and the Taliban is not going to accept it either. That is just it's a non-starter for the Taliban. The Taliban is saying, this is the deal, live up to it. You agreed to leave by May 1st, do it.
Yes, you quote from the statement the Taliban issued on March 26th, just days past. If, God forbid, the Taliban says, all foreign troops not withdraw from Afghanistan on the specified date in line with the Doha Agreement, undoubtedly it will be considered a violation of the accord by America, for which it shall be held liable, and which shall also harm its international standing. In such a case, the Islamic Emirate, as a representative of the believing, valiant, and Mujahid Afghan nation, will be compelled to defend its religion and homeland and continue its jihad and armed struggle against foreign forces to liberate its country. Bill, continue its jihad? I was unaware that they'd stopped.
No, they haven't stopped. What the jihad that they're talking about in this case is against the United States, against the foreign occupation in Afghanistan. But make no mistake, their jihad will not be over once the U.S. leaves. Their jihad will continue against what the Taliban calls the apostate, the satanic, these are all words that need to be put in quote, un-Islamic, impotent, et cetera, all the descriptors that they call the Afghan government. That jihad will continue. And then the other sort of its silent jihad, oftentimes not so silent jihad, is its support for al-Qaeda and other allied groups that operate inside Afghanistan and throughout the region and throughout the world. The Taliban holds itself up as the the defenders of the Muslim faith, and it treats al-Qaeda and other groups. It's their allies, and they fight for Muslims, just not, you know, they're doing it in Afghanistan, and they're doing it outside of Afghanistan, and that's just fine with the Taliban.
Tom, Vietnam, it burns in my memory that day that the U.S. bugged out of Saigon, and Gerry Ford's administration sent rescue helicopters in. There were ships off the shore, Da Nang, Saigon, people clinging to helicopter rudders, landing equipment, and also trying to hold on to an airplane that was taking off. I remember all those images. Now, that was a horror in the 1970s. Are we going to have anything like that the day the U.S. finally leaves, Tom? Can you imagine it?
I mean, I could imagine it, sure. I mean, I think the U.S. has, first in the Trump administration, was very aware of the optics of those events and wanted to avoid that in Afghanistan. And part of their thinking, if we can call it thinking, and how they approached this was they wanted a way to withdraw from Afghanistan without having those sort of optics. But I mean, I think it still remains to be seen how cleanly the U.S. can get out of Afghanistan. I think, you know, one of the big things here about all this is that just as the U.S., you know, waffled in its support for the South Vietnamese government, I think you can see that waffling here coming a long, long ways away when it comes to the government in Kabul, to the point where the U.S., and you look at sort of the recently leaked letter from Secretary of State Anthony Blinken to Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, you know, the text of that letter makes it sound like Ashraf Ghani is the main obstacle to peace in Afghanistan. Now, for all of his flaws and all of his problems with the Afghan government, they're certainly not the main obstacle to peace in Afghanistan. The main obstacle to peace in Afghanistan is the Taliban, al-Qaeda, and their jihad, which wants to restore their Islamic Emirate. And the bottom line is that the U.S. government has been delusional about this for a long time and just refuses to admit that that is the Taliban's central political goal. And so all of this is sort of theater in two respects. One is to basically offer a pretext or some sort of papering over this humiliating exit from America from Afghanistan. And the second is they want to deny the Taliban's central political goal because they want to pretend like there's some other scapegoat that's responsible for this failure.
Bill, have we heard anything about the contractors? Wherever the U.S. military is these days, contractors are in great number. Are they preparing to leave Afghanistan At the same time, the military may or may not leave Afghanistan.
Yeah, so the contractors that are connected to the U.S. military certainly are preparing. I've heard from several contractors that they are making contingency plans, but they're in the dark as much as anyone else is in all this. But they can't operate in Afghanistan without U.S. military support. Some of these contractors would be needed to help the Afghan military try to keep its air force operating. But look, the reality is the vast majority of the contractors in Afghanistan are going to have to leave if the U.S. military isn't there. The U.S. military provides the presence, the security. I know, like, a lot of people are like, well, wait, the contractors provide base security. But the reality is the contractors don't have firepower like the U.S. They don't have airstrikes. They can't get helicopters, medevac, all of those things, all of those combat enablers are what makes the U.S. military powerful. And these contractors, they may have guys holding rifles and armored vehicles, but that's not enough if it really goes bad inside Afghanistan. You need much more than that, and the contractors are preparing to leave if the U.S. is indeed serious about doing so.
Bill, just a blunt question. Can what's left behind hold Bagram Air Base? Can it be defended with the Afghan National
Army? Defended by the Afghans?
Yes. Can they do it?
Contractors?
No, the Afghan National Army. Can it defend Bagram? If we're gone, does Bagram fall to the Taliban in 20 minutes?
I can't tell you about the timing. I think the Taliban... Look, I have this debate, Tom and I and some individuals have this debate often. What is the Taliban going to do? And that's what we don't really know. What I think is most important to the Taliban isn't Bagram itself. Bagram likes to attack Bagram because it's a symbol. More important to the Taliban is retaking areas in the south and in the east in its traditional stronghold. If it could cow its enemies in those areas, it's reestablished its base control, then it's going to take that jihad out, its jihad out to other areas. So, you know, I think at some point Afghanistan falls to the Taliban. I think you had a U.S. general say 2 to 3 years. Hey, he might be right. That the Afghan military may hold out that long. Maybe they'll hold out 1 year. That wouldn't shock me either. The devil's in the details here. It's how fast the Taliban wants to go. But I don't think there's anyone here, anyone that I know of, that looks at this issue seriously that thinks the Afghan government, the Afghan military, is going to hold out beyond a couple of years.
Bill Rajo, Tom Jossen, they are senior fellows at the Foundation of Democracies. When we come back, everybody is listening to the president's remarks about, I can't picture that. What does that mean to Al-Qaeda? What does that mean to Boko Haram? What does that mean to AQAP, all the other jihadist actors out there waiting for the U.S. to leave somewhere? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.